This is the RDU on Stage podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Garrett Clayton and Joanna Lee. On this episode, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm chatting with two different artists about two different princess stories, one steeped in Raleigh theater history and one working its way to becoming a holiday panto tradition. First up, I'm talking to Garrett Clayton, who plays the huntsman in the Lithgow family panto production of A Snow White Christmas. Clayton got his big break when he was cast in the Disney Channel original movie, Teen Beach Movie, which was a far cry from his first summer camp production of Charlotte's Web. And that's where our conversation begins.
My first experience in acting ever was at a summer camp. We got to pick, out of all the activities, there was like, there's a slot where you can pick the thing you want to do each week. So some people picked rock climbing, some people picked this or that. And I thought the drama club sounded fun because I'd never done it. And we did Charlotte's Web. I was Uncle Homer, and I didn't remember any of my lines. And all the camp counselors thought I was funny and said they felt like they were watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I thought, well, this is fun. Not that not all acting is improv, but I thought, well, if I can get up on stage and not know what I'm saying and people think it's funny, imagine if I actually knew what I was doing.
So what was your first big break?
I started in commercial modeling when I was about 13 because I was getting into the community theater scene. And I know my mom had a couple friends who did modeling, and she did a little bit of it herself. And I told her I wanted to try acting, and she goes, well, why don't we get you into this slowly? And she goes, we can do see if there's any like fun, cute print ads for kids or things like that, and see if you even like dipping your toe in this world. And I remember I was at the agency when I was 15, and they were casting a movie, and I cold read for it and booked one of the roles in it. And it was a blue screen movie, and a man named John Higby was directing it, and he did all the special effects for Journey to the Center of the Earth. And so I thought that was just like the craziest first acting, like professional acting experience, was doing a blue screen movie before CGI had really taken over the industry. And that was my first professional job in the acting world. So I thought that was pretty crazy. And then from there, I went to casting calls and I kept booking those things. And that really, like a slow snowball of life, got me to LA when I was 19. I was a waiter at the same time from about 15 to like 20, 21, and I'd booked Teen Beach Movie, which was my big break with Disney Channel. And yeah, it felt very road to Hollywood kind of feelings, where I was suddenly on this beach in Puerto Rico and shooting this giant musical like in the middle of the number, and I was like, what is life?
You ended up performing with some amazing people. You were working with Kristen Chenoweth on Hairspray Live and Jennifer Hudson. And
I love them both dearly, and we still talk every now and then.
And Al Pacino and Judith Light. What are those experiences like? And being a young actor, what lessons did any of those people teach you about moving forward in your career?
Well, I'm just like a small town kid who grew up in Detroit, so this is still like, I still get those like hit you like a brick wall moments. The really wonderful thing I've learned from all of these industry, I guess, royalties in those sense of words, is really to have strong roots in who you are as a performer, the kind of message you have that you want to spread through your life, and how to keep creative integrity while also being malleable and collaborative. And so really finding the things that make you comfortable and let you shine, and where you can push yourself and sometimes you work with people and maybe you don't understand the road they're leading you on, but it ends up making you a better performer in the end if you, you know, if you respect the people you work with and you really try and see their vision out, as well as, you know, making sure you make it clear, like, for me, there's certain things within even The Huntsman that were, it, a lot of people would say, oh, it's just a kid's show, but, you know, we're doing some, we're not only working with really incredible people, you know, TV, Broadway, film, whatever capacity all of us have worked in, we're also doing really sharp comedic timing.
Crazy dance moves. That's what I took away from last year's production of Aladdin.
But, and that's the thing is, you know, we, there's still an execution to really sell these shows. And so, you know, I'm getting on stage and my 11 o'clock number on the show is I'm Still Standing from Elton John. And so I'm thinking, well, when everybody hears this, there's certain staples within the song that you have to pay respect to. But also, how am I making it my own? And how, when people leave this theater, are they going to go, wow, he really brought something to this that I didn't know that song had? I think right now people are expecting me to walk on stage as like Chris Hemsworth in the Kristen Stewart movie, but you know, we're really trying to take a different turn with Herman the Huntsman, and you know, he is a slave to the queen, or indebted to her in some weird way or some magical way. And it, for me, it really is a story of like finding confidence and learning how to stand up for yourself. And so we really have him like in this like quirky, fun, it almost feels a little immature and naive. And then he learns how to like stand up for himself and build up that courage. And I think a lot of kids will find that really relatable. And, you know, being from the Midwest, I know it's those Midwest values of the P's and Q's and being, you know, polite. And I know times in my life where I think, you know, those things really held me together. And I know that I kept on good terms with everyone I left with, but sometimes I wish I would have stood up for myself more instead of just trying to be polite. I hope kids can take that away from my character, where you can still have those polite moments, but you also have to know how to stand up for yourself.
This is a panto production, which when we say the word panto, that's kind of an old form of children's theater holiday entertainment. So could you explain to our audience what panto is and how it's playing or how it will play to contemporary audiences here in Raleigh?
Well, I think it's interesting because British panto being classic, I think the modern word for that is parody. So we're taking classic fairy tale Snow White. We integrate, you know, local references regionally depending on where the show is. So if I'm doing a show in Nashville, I can be saying a joke that it'll either relate to hot chicken as opposed to something that would make sense for like North Carolina. That I think makes the community feel involved. It makes them feel respected. And it also makes you feel like this is a show that knows you. But classic British panto is, you know, 200-300 years old. They do them all over the UK. And, you know, and everything from local theater community productions to big, glamorous ones in the heart of London. So it's, you know, I think the Lithgows are really trying to bring that to the US and expand upon it so that people have a way to introduce kids to theater. Because I think right now kids have to sit in their lap and watch these Christmas shows or holiday shows. And it's like, no, don't make any noise for 2 hours. And then at the end of it, they're bursting out of their seats. And then you have to figure out how to get them tired enough to go to bed. But at least with these shows, we're calling back to the audience and we're asking you to yell back with us. So the kids get to actually feel like they've had fun all night. So when your hero comes out on stage, you cheer him on. And when the villain comes on, you're allowed to boo as much as you want. And then we're talking right to you. And then we're back into the plot line. And yeah, it's really fun.
You've done stage, television, film. Mm-hmm. You've done some TV musicals, yeah. On stage musicals. Do you have a favorite medium? Do you have a favorite medium to work in?
I think I learn different things from all of it. What I really love about live performance is you see right away what works and what doesn't. Or film, you're doing something and the camera's an inch away from your face and it's all about how internal and brooding you are or what's going on inside your head. But when you're on stage and you're in a, you know, 1,000 to 3,000 seat theater, you're throwing it to the cheap seats while still trying to find a way to ground it in some reality. Mm-hmm. So I really love theater, and to me it feels like the free experimental space where I can try a million different things and see what works every night and always try something new. And
every night it's different.
Well, the audience is it's our fourth character. It's not just a fourth wall. The audience is literally as another character in the show. So as alive as they are, that informs also their own experience.
Any advice for young people who've seen you on Disney Channel or Hairspray Live? Any advice for them, young people wanting to break into the business?
Don't be scared to try new things. Always chase opportunity and make sure you surround yourself with people who love you for who you are.
A Snow White Christmas runs through December 8th at the Duke Energy Center for Performing Arts. More information on the production can be found in the episode notes. Now we're going to shift gears and talk about another beloved fairy tale, Cinderella. The Raleigh Little Theater production of Cinderella has become a time-honored tradition for so many families in the Triangle, and this year marks the production's 36th year. Joanna Lee has been working with the show for the past 3 years, first as its music director, and this year as the show's music supervisor. Lee has music directed all across the United States, including local organizations such as Theater Raleigh, Cape Fear Regional Theater, North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater, and Temple Theater. I know so many of our listeners have had the opportunity to work with Lee, but you may not know that it was a little sibling rivalry that propelled her into music in the first place, and that is where our conversation begins.
Well, he's 6 years older than me. He had started playing piano, and he went to a competition, and he won, and he got a trophy. And I was five, and I was like, I want a trophy. And his piano teacher, in a brilliant move, came up to me and said, well, if you start taking lessons with me and you work really hard, you'll get a trophy. And I was like, that sounds like a good deal. So that's how I started piano, all because I wanted a trophy.
Well, did you get a trophy?
I never got one for piano. I got a plaque. I got a couple of plaques, I think, within a short time frame, but I didn't get that trophy until I started the organ, so it was a while.
So what exactly does a music director do? I mean, we all think we know what a music director does on a show, but what does a music director do?
It all depends on the show, on the venue, the company, but at the very basic level, like, we teach the music. So we get a score and we teach the cast, their notes. From that point, you can get more detailed. We can coach soloists on their individual numbers and how we want them to sing that. We can coach the ensemble so that we get the exact sound that we want. And if the show is being done to tracks, then we teach them how to time things out to track. Or if it's to live accompaniment, we can conduct the band and not play. Or we can also play and conduct the band. Sometimes theaters don't hire a full band, so then we reorchestrate. And part of that is also programming keyboards. So there's a lot that starts to go into it depending on who you're working for.
I know you've seen a lot of auditions. What are the biggest mistakes that performers make when coming to an audition that you've seen from the music director's standpoint?
From a pianist point of view, I think the biggest mistake is an underprepared score. And what I mean by that is having a song that's not in the right key for you, but you don't know what is the right key for you. Sometimes people bring music that doesn't have any words with it. Sometimes people bring music that's not marked correctly, so you don't actually know where the person is starting or ending. Music that's, not bound. I mean, that's okay, but it's not ideal. Basically, the idea is you want to make it as easy for the pianist so that they can do their job, and then you don't have to worry about the accompaniment that's being played. So that's just a logistical thing that I think is easily fixable because you just prepare your score beforehand. In the room itself, I think the biggest mistake is being so far in your head and in your nerves that you can't communicate. The more prepared you are, the more flexible you can be. Because you should expect directors and MDs to ask you to make adjustments. Because I think a big part of it is seeing how well you can adapt and how well you take direction. That's a big part of the process.
So you're working on Raleigh Little Theater's Cinderella.
I am.
What has changed this year musically? And I feel like over the last couple of years, because that's an ongoing show that's been going on for 30 years, I get the sense that you inherited a lot of music. So what is the challenge working on a show like Cinderella?
Well, the very first challenge, the very most basic challenge is, what exactly is the script and score? Because it has been Frankensteined over, I think in its 36th year, so it's my age, that, as one of my instrumentalists described it, it looks like a ransom note. The score looks like a ransom note, like it's just been taped over and pieced together. So the very first challenge is, what is this show? And then it's about, like, what message are we actually trying to send? Because you have kind of a guaranteed audience. You know, it's built up a following. And it started, I started with Rod and Nancy, and now I'm with Mike, and we've every year talked about, like, what story are we actually trying to tell? Because initially, I think the very first story was, poor Cinderella, everyone feels sorry for her. She just needs a man to fix everything. Fairy Godmother shows up and allows her access to that man, essentially. And yay, everything is fine after that. You know, she never, like, that was the story. And they fell in love and, like, without even speaking to each other. And so we have worked on that, try to at least give them some kind of relationship, to try to make Cinderella not a pity party. There are no changes this year to the music from last year. My project this year, well, in terms of lyrics and song structure, I've reorchestrated some stuff, but I haven't added, and that's not entirely true, I haven't added a brand new song out of nowhere. I'll say that. As I said, musically, the biggest challenge at first was, what is this? And then it was about, like, what changes should we make to tell a more relevant story? And then for my end, because I am lucky enough to be able to compose numbers for this show, how do I still pay respect to the work of previous music directors and the original as well? I never wanted to just replace a song without respecting the work that came before. So if I can talk about one of them, What's to Become of Me in the original is a, like, it's sad. She's singing, what's to become of me? What is my destiny? Sings about her dress of rags and, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, I didn't want this story, again, to be about one where fairy godmother picks Cinderella because she is the most pathetic case on the planet. You know, I was like, there has to be something more to Cinderella than this. And I also thought of the fact that, like, her name is Ella. Her step family has given her the name Cinderella as a taunting name. And so I was like, she needs to take ownership, because the show is called Cinderella, so it's not just Ella. So somehow Cinderella herself has to take ownership of this. So the lyrics are, if I can, Cinderella, that's what they call me. Cinderella, that's now my name. They mock and taunt and beat and berate me. But try as they might, I'm not ashamed. For I know that kindness is better than a dress, and beauty is deeper than whatever you can see. My father once told me, always try your best. And if you do, Ella, if you do, that's what will become of you. Cinderella, get up, get started. Change tomorrow begins today. Don't give up and mope brokenhearted. Gotta get up and find my own way. Work hard, work harder, and all will turn out right. Never stop trying for the best that I can be. If I remember to use mind over might, I'll be free one day. I'll be free. That's what's to become of me.
I guess what strikes me about hearing you read the lyrics as opposed to hearing the lyrics sung is, especially in modern musicals, lyrics get lost sometimes.
They do. Frequently. Yes, it's a constant battle as a music director to tell a singer, like, don't get lost in just, oh, this is the sound of my voice, or this is a melody, and that's awesome. But, like, to keep going back to text.
And does the audience have any responsibility to pay more attention to, like, how do you become a more active listening audience?
Well, I think part of it is an exercise in staying present. which is hard for everyone, myself included. I mean, it is a problem. Because it's easy to get sucked into other things. So part of that, sure, is on the actor. But yes, on the audience member to remember that, like, these are real people in front of you, not something that's taped that you can just watch over and over again. And what is happening right in front of you in that moment is not going to be repeated ever again, because it will change from show to show. That moment in time is the one that you have right now. So pay attention to it. There was a great music teacher, Nadia Boulanger, who said that the things that make us human are attentiveness and memory. And I've always sort of latched onto those two things, that what makes us people are the amount of care we can pay to any particular moment, so attention, and the fact that we can remember. And so I think theater is a great way to exercise both of those things.
Do you have a favorite show, a favorite score that you've done or worked on?
I don't. I know that, because there are a couple of things for me. I think once I finish a show, I don't look back for a while. And I think that's just my own personal process of letting go. Like, so I do a recap every year of all the shows that I've done that year. But a lot of times I have a really hard time recalling what I've done, just because I've, you know, like, sort of forced myself to move on. And then I'll look back like a couple of years later. So right now, no. I mean, I did start the year with Fun Home. That is an incredible show. You know, I'm going to tackle it again next year, and I'm excited about that.
Theater Raleigh?
Yeah. So I guess you could say that's a favorite just because it's a repeat. So then it's on my mind again.
Do you learn from one experience to the next? So doing it the first time, do you have some musical lessons that you can take away that you'll bring into this next production at Theater Raleigh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're like, oh, I should not have taught this way. Or, oh, if I try it this way, it'll be faster. Or if I conduct this number this way, then it'll be clearer. You know, things that you learn trial and error the first time around.
And I'm guessing from Cinderella too, from time to time, you know, this is your third time working on Cinderella. So it's probably similar experience.
Yes. Yes. Although this time I'm just music supervisor. So I, you know, I've been mostly writing for it, like, again, making the score not look like a ransom note, and also doing some reorchestrating. So most of my time on Cinderella has actually been spent on the computer, just writing.
The Raleigh Little Theater production of Cinderella runs from December 6th to December 22nd. More information on that production can be found in the episode notes. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Follow us on social media at RDU on Stage, become a patron of this program, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next week, I'll see you at the theater.